Okay, we'll go ahead and get started here with a word of prayer. Then we'll move forward. Father, Yahweh, just bless you and honor you and glorify you for who you are in our lives. And we just praise you for just another opportunity to get into your presence. We seek wisdom and understanding on tonight. So we just ask you to enlighten us, and we bless you for all that you do in advance. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. Amen. Alrighty. There are some things that I want to share with you in reference to a particular word. We kind of going to do a word study and know what this word truly means. How many have ever heard confusion is of the devil? Confusion is of the devil. Yeah, yeah. So we want to deal with that and walk in understanding in reference to that. And so, we can use technology here. And so, Joshua. And so we can use technology here. So I typed in the word confusion is of the devil. It's not there. Okay, it's not there. So the term confusion is of the devil is not in the scriptures, but there are certain things that that we can look at to make a determination as far as that is concerned. Confusion is concerned. And so what we'll do here, we'll just take the word confusion. You know, I like doing it this way. The technology gives us the ability to do it. So, everywhere in the scripture where the word confusion is, look, Joshua, stop. So, everywhere the word confusion is, we can see it. We can see it in scripture. So, we're able to look at all of these scriptures here, and it'll tell you where the word confusion is. Now, from looking at this word confusion, there are some things that we're going to understand in reference to what's going on in society from just looking at the word confusion. Because we have to understand, if he's going to carry on, just take him out. And so when you look at the word confusion, and it has different meanings as far as scripture is concerned. And so we want to understand this word confusion. And I think we're going to be surprised at some of the definition that's associated with the word confusion. So we're going to look at that. We're going to look at the word confusion. And this is our lesson on today, okay? So we'll look at the first one. The first one is found in Leviticus 18, verse 23. Okay? And so we'll look at some thing within this contextual meaning to understand what this word confusion is, so we can categorize it. Because confusion, there are a lot of words that appears to mean a certain thing, but when we go back to its origin, we realize it's really saying something totally different from what we understand. Although the English language, they'll use the same word for everything, okay, in a lot of cases. So they'll use the same word for everything, but at the same time, when we understand when some of these translations are being taken from the Hebrew, it's being taken from the Greek as far as the New Testament is concerned, they will take these words and translate them, but when you go back and look at it in its origin, it don't mean what we think it means in America. So the problem with understanding the scripture as far as America is concerned, and I always use this term, is that America, or I say most people, specifically America, creates Yah in its own image. In other words, how they view things is what they go by. Say, for instance, I use example, they'll say, well, if you cuss, you go to hell. Because in their mindset, what cuss means the same thing as curse. The Bible says curse, But they use cuss and put it in the same category as curse because they're not able to make the distinction between the two. And so they'll say, well, you know, well, cussing is foul language, and the Bible talk about certain, you know, ways that you communicate and stuff like that. So, well, when you look at the scripture and you even deal with the word communication, in the scripture, it don't necessarily mean a lot of time you're using your voice or your vocal cords or language. I can communicate with you by when you come in, I throw my hand up and do like this. I'm communicating. And so we have to back up and look at things from Yah's perspective instead of what we come to the conclusion that particular word means. Or you know, when we look at things, what it means. So that's what we're going to do with the word confusion. And we're going to see a whole lot of, we're going to see different definition of the word confusion to know what Yah is saying in that particular instance. Okay? And so we'll just look at as many of these as we can. First one is Leviticus 18, verse 23. It says, neither shall I lay with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lay down thereto. It is confusion. So what is Yah saying concerning mankind being with animals? Yah said this is confusion. So what does Yah mean when he said this is confusion? Okay, when we look at it, it says unnatural. So confusion can be from Yah's perspective anything that is a mixture whereby it is unnatural. So that's why when you hear me talk about certain things, I don't pull out certain words that's used in this modern day language in order to deal with issues. So when people ask me, okay, well, you know, what is it about? I don't preach against homosexuality. As far as the word is concerned, it's not in the scriptures. But unnatural is, confusion is. So when I see something that is unnatural, according to Yah, he said, that's confusion. So I look at that, and instead of me saying, man, look at that, I say, man, look at the confusion. Because now I'm talking kingdom terms, whereby there is no law that can now come against me because I'm using terminology that is not according to modern day language that allows them to say, well, you attack it. No, I'm not attacking you. I'm just teaching from a perspective of the scripture, and the scripture says this is confusion. So I'm not one of those preachers who will stand up in the pulpit and say, you know, homosexuals and all this kind of stuff. I deal with confusion. Because confusion talk about a mixture of anything that is against the laws of nature. I can talk about confusion all day long. So that's what confusion is. So when you see mankind laying with a beast, and I'm telling you, there are going to be laws that's passed in the future where just about anything goes. But we understand that when we see mankind land with animals, that is, you know, they call it bestiality. But according to the scripture, Yah said it's confusion. So that's one word, one term for the word confusion. And we may see other examples of the confusion in order to understand it, you know, to understand what confusion is. So this is one of them. And when you look at it from, when you look at the word as far as the Hebrew is concerned, this is how you tell the difference. It's tevel. T-E-H-B-E-L. So anytime there's association with that, and you can run it even far back in the Hebrew, notice it says balal. And so it means to overflow by invocation, to mix, to mingle. Okay, these are things, it says tempter, so it's starting to show what causes people to mixture like that. To be with animals and things like that, there is something that is tempter or a mixture or overflowing and things like that. So it lets you know that there are some things not only that's going on from the act. It lets us know that the act is an issue, But then Yah even reveals in his word why it is an issue. Why would mankind want to mix oils or mixture with something that is animal? That's not natural. That is unnatural. To you know, and there's certain things that gotta be, you know, to take a private part and put it in an area where it doesn't go, that is a mixture of fluids or oils that makes it unnatural. That is not what that's supposed to be. And so these things are unnatural. So when you teach the scripture, you teach it from a perspective of confusion. You don't get caught up into these laws that's been passed with these certain catchphrases that allow people to come against the church in ways that they shouldn't be, because the church don't understand Yah's mind in how to communicate things to let us know what is right and wrong based upon the laws of Yah. So you never hear me come against gays and lesbians and all that kind of stuff. You never hear me talk about those terms. But I will talk about terms as far as the scripture is concerned. I will talk about unnatural affection. I will talk about confusion. And so what we're to understand and walk in wisdom on is we use the terminology of the scriptures, which means there is no law that can come against that, because that's the standard. Okay, now as we move around and look at these, I like it on the right side, so put it up again. So we'll look at the next one. Now it says, now if any man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them should surely be put to death. This was in our law. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. So when you see confusion in this passage here, it is the same one. It's unnatural. Y'all say it's not natural for a father to sleep with his son's wife. That's unnatural. That's not natural. So when Yah said that's confusion, that's what it is. When you see these type of things take place, Yah said that is an unnatural mixture that he puts in the same category as being with an animal. That's how serious it is. Okay? So we see two definitions of the word confusion. One with animal, one with a daughter-in-law, and Yah says this is confusion. He said you don't want that confusion in the kingdom. Now you move to Samuel, it says then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, thou son of the perverse rebellious woman, or perverse rebellion, but he is talking about his mother because it shows it down here. Rebellious, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse? Because Jonathan was really close to David. That's why he's saying that, even against his father in reference to David. And so that's why he's saying this. Do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion? Now what is he talking about? And unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? Now, when you look at it, here you have a father now that's telling his son, okay, you're closer to Jonathan than you are to me as your father. But you know you bringing things about to confusion. Now, let's look at what this confusion is now. When we look at the confusion, notice it has a different meaning. The first one was Teha or something like that. Let me go back just to make sure. Tabal. And so as we look at this one here, it has a different meaning now. So when we look at the word confusion, it is Bosheth. Bosheth. And it also says from 9:54, we look at that. But he says shame. So whereas you look at this, Saul is saying, man, here I am your father, and you're picking your friend over your father to bring, you know, is bringing destruction to your father. He said, this is confusion. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And it also shows an example as far as idolatry is concerned. So when you see When you see a person worshiping another god, that is confusion. That's idolatry. So you have to understand the terminologies as we're dealing with this. So it says shame, the feeling and condition of shame, as well as is caused by implication and idol. A shame, confusion, shameful thing. He was telling Jonathan, this is a shameful thing. This is confusion. That's why when you have certain things that happen between family members and things like that, that's confusion. That's shameful. You know, that's shameful when things go on, you know, go on from that perspective. And so we have to understand, whereas, you know, when we look at it from the American term, how do we describe confusion? So I just look it up. We just use technology and Google it. What does America use or the dictionary as far as the English mindset use as far as confusion is concerned? To show how it may limit its meaning, it says lack of understanding, uncertainty. So the majority of people, when they're talking about confusion, is of the devil, they're talking about ignorance, uncertainty. Okay.
So that's
something
that the words
yeah. It has the same definition?
That's what I'm asking.
I don't know. Let's just type in Webster. I'm pretty sure that it probably is. Confusion definition. Webster. A situation in which people are uncertain, yeah, about what to do, are unable to understand something clearly. Yes, pretty much same definition. So when you look at confusion, that is the American term. So when they say, man, this is confusion. Or when they say confusion is of the devil, they approach it from this standpoint. But when you see when Yah says confusion, he has a whole different mindset. Confusion can be unnatural. Completely different from the understanding of the English vocabulary in comparison to Yah's understanding of things. So he says confusion is unnatural. Confusion is something that is shameful. But yet the English language word for confusion is very limited. And that's why it's important to not take words and interpret the words according to what we understand from an English language, and we completely miss the whole meaning of things. And that's what brought about the language or the definition here. Confusion, lack of understanding. There's a lot of confusion in the church because of people not understanding the true meaning of the words in the scripture. Very few people look at the word confusion and then see that in the Hebrew it has a different meaning. So in our language we would have said to thine own Basheth. And from us saying in our native language Basheth, we would have known that it's talking about shame, because we would have known what shame means. Or when we would have been dealing with our language, and we would have been talking about confusion as far as laying with animals and things like that, we would have said Tabal. And we would have been, no, this is unnatural. So one says Tabal, and the other one says Basheth. And so in our language, we don't have just one word to try to describe everything. And so that's why the understanding is clearer when we go back to our language. That's why we look at definitions not a lot, because we're going back to our language, and we would not have said confusion in both verses. We would have said Tabal in one, talking about unnatural, and we would have said Basheth in another one, talking about shame. Or where we look at family members and say, you brought me to Basheth. We wouldn't have looked at a family member and said, you brought me to the Tabal. That's unnatural. Unless there would have been some things going on from things that's unnatural. So for the sake of communication, I can look at somebody and speak our native language and say, instead of just calling it what the English language is, I can say, that's Tabal. I'm saying that word correctly. I know I'm shifting back and forth. There's no law. That is Tabal. And so there are certain things that as we start to move further and further into the things of the kingdom, we'll start to go back to what the true meaning of those words are, and don't get caught up into what a lot of preachers get caught up into, throwing these little catch words over the pulpit and about to get their churches closed down because now they're attacking people individual instead of just teaching from a perspective of the scripture. So I can look at circumstances and say, okay, here are a lot of tabal situations. Okay? A lot of tabal situation, and then this is a lot of bullshit situation. Shame. We understand that now. And so this is how we teach the scriptures and we deal with it to understand things within its context, in the contextual meaning. And so he says, you bring it to thine own confusion. This is shameful. That's what he's saying to him. This is shameful. You move to Ezra. Ezra says, since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day. For our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the land, to the sword, to captivity. And to a spoil, and to confusion of face. What is confusion of face? Well, we know it's not unnatural affection, but chef. That's how we know. When we see confusion, how you know which one it is? When you see the word, you look at it within this context and say, there's nothing unnatural going here, so that's it, Boshef. Especially when it starts to deal with shame. So you start to see a word, the contextual meaning is talking about shame, we know that's Besheth as far as confusion, the word confusion is concerned. So we would have put Besheth there. Okay? And so I'm just giving you some insight on what has taken me so long to study from Genesis to Revelation. It took me 12 years the first time. Took me 5 years the second time, and now I'm going into the third round of that. Well, you're seeing why it takes so long, because when you study the scripture, you need to study the words, make sure you understand it within its contextual meaning, and a lot of time we'll realize that it goes beyond just what we see as far as confusion is concerned. So when you look at it from an English perspective now, It wouldn't make sense to say to the sword, to captivity, and to spoil, and to lack of understanding of face. People be like, that don't make no sense. Oh, it don't, because that's not the English meaning of the word confusion. Okay, move to Job now. It says, if I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. Now, from what y'all understand as far as the definition is concerned, look at the contextual meaning and come to the conclusion of what confusion this is talking about. If I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion. Therefore, see thou my iniquity. Huh? Which one you think it would be? It's okay if you don't know. We're just learning. That's why this is class. It's just learning.
He probably said the first one.
To Baal. No, why would you say it's to Baal? Because to Baal is unnatural. So let's just look at it. Yeah, well,
afflictions could be.
He said, if I be wicked, woe unto me. If I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion. So are you saying he's full of unnatural?
Okay, the second one.
Okay, the second one is bullshit. So it says it's full of shame. I'm just asking. Let's see.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, let's see. Let's just see. It says galah. That's another one. It says disgrace. See, so we know within the contextual meaning that one means unnatural, the other one means the other one means shame, and this one here means disgrace, dishonor. It also says shame, so it does have a connection. Now let's see how it connects now. our language is kind of complex to a certain perspective. It says despise, esteem, sit light. So we know confusion can be shame, but it's a different type of shame than what Saul had. Yeah, this is a shameful thing, but you have to understand where it's a shameful is. It's not. So let's look at them. I'm gonna pull up another Bible. Okay. So we can see them side by side. So we look at Bosheth here, and then we look at Kalon here. Okay, so when we look at Kalon, it says disgrace. What's that? Pudenda? Confusion? It says dishonor. Ignominy, reproach, shame. It still has association with the word shame, but the shame is a little bit different from Bosheth. This shame is, as you see, it says the feeling and the condition. The feeling and condition, as well as the cause. It also says a shame, confusion. So these definitions are close here, but it lets you know that there's a different circumstance. So you have disgrace, confusion, some of the same words, but he's explaining that from verse 15, if I be wicked, woe unto me, and if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion. And so, therefore, see thou mine affliction. So it lets you know that there's something going on with him that lets us know there's a condition that he's in that's bringing about the confusion, the shame. That's a little bit different from what's going on with Saul here. Okay, and these things are things that we really have to take our time and look at and study and understand it. It wouldn't be bad to show that there's a close relationship, but at the same time, there's a little bit different in the definition and the meaning. Okay, again, it says my head, I am full of confusion, reproach. Why? Because he's going through something. He's been afflicted to a certain extent. I'm full of reproach, shame. So his shame is based upon how he's being dealt with from a, although it has wicked here, he said, if I be wicked, woe unto me. If I be righteous, yet will I not lift my head. If this is happening to me like I'm wicked, because I'm wicked, woe unto me. But if it's happening to me because I'm righteous, then I still won't get caught up into my pride. And you know how you get some people that get caught up in their pride and they start saying, I don't understand why I got to go through this because I haven't done anything. Well, Job is saying, I would not lift up my head in either case. If I be wicked, woe unto me. I get what I deserve, but woe unto me. But if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head to boast about I shouldn't be going through this. And you get that from a lot of people. And so that's where he said, I'm full of confusion. Reproach, shame. The kind of shame that make me either way, if I'm wicked, then, the confusion is what I deserve, per se. If I'm righteous, and because I'm righteous, although I'm going through this, I'm not going to lift up my head and get caught up in the pride and be like, I shouldn't be going through this. I'm the righteous. He's dealing with it from that perspective. Okay. Now, we'll move to another one, Psalms 3:4. It says, let me be confounded and put to shame. What you think shame means here? Because all these confusion has been associated with shame a lot. So 9 times out of 10, one of these definitions, this word shame is going to mean one of these definitions. I hadn't read it all, so I don't know which one or if it's another one. Let's just see. Shame, it's different. It's cologne. Okay, to wound, to taunt, or the insult. It also says a shame, confusion, and reproach. Shame. So it's a word that's connected. It lets you know that shame is connected, but you got to understand what's going on. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. So Psalms, David, most likely is the writer. He's praying about those that come against him. You know, Saul came against him a lot. A lot of other people came against him. So he said, let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion. Which one is this? It's another one now. Okay. It's cough off. Through the idea of detection, blush, to be ashamed, disappointed. Let what plans they have for me bring about their own confusion. Expose them. Let it not work. Mess up their plans. So that's what David was saying. That's why he says, let them be confounded. He's telling you the type of confusion he want on them. He said, let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion. Mess up every plan. And mess it up to the point to where it has brought them to shame and they've been exposed. And he used the word blush here, embarrassed. So that's what it's meaning in this particular passage. Here we got, you know, people go, you know, like I said, a lot of people will pick up the word, pick up the Bible, look at the word confusion, and they think all of it is the same. Because they approach it from a one-track mind, a one-track mindset. And so they miss all the value that's actually in that passage because of a lack of understanding. Now, it's still the same thing that he's dealing with. He said, let them be ashamed and brought to confusion. Same meaning. So Psalms is talking about the same thing. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine heart. Let them be clothed with shame. Let me see what that was going to say. Boshef. See, let them be clothed with shame. Boshef. So he uses confusion to describe. Let them be exposed. But then he used Boshef to the type of shame that he want them to experience. Confusion. Okay. So it's saying expose them, confound them, do all these different things in order to understand it. So this is how we study the scriptures to know what's going on in these passages and to come to the clearest understanding. Psalms 44, it says, my confusion is continually before me. Which one? Gives you another one. Disgrace. It extends from Kalam. We've dealt with that one. Or Kalam. We dealt with that one. So that's the same meaning. So it extends back to that. Okay? And so that's why it takes so much to understand the scripture, because we have to take this time in order to see what's really going on in these passages. Now, Psalm 70, verse 2, he says, let them be ashamed. What the word ashamed mean? It has the same meaning. And confounded. Confounded. Confusion and confounded. Kafir. So it could have been, let them be ashamed and confusion. But he said confounded here. So confounded has the same meaning as this. Same meaning as confusion in this passage. So it says, brought to confusion. Let them be exposed. Let them be blushed. So he said, let them be ashamed and exposed that seek after my soul. So every time somebody was seeking to kill David, David always said, expose them. So when according to our language, when a person is exposed, their confusion has been revealed. They've been brought to confusion, so they've been exposed. That's what it means. Going through. They say, in thee, O Yah, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Notice it says this. Now, when we go back, it says a shame. So this particular verse, instead of it saying confusion, it should say, in thee, O Yah, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to a shame. Right here, the same word. So you have a shame here, and you have confusion here. Well, if a person is looking at confusion to mean what it means in the English language, then a shame what it means to be in the other language, they say, well, seems like he's saying, don't let me be ignorant. And then at the same time, it said, don't let me be embarrassed. Well, let them be ashamed. Let them be exposed, delayed. You see other words, confounded, confusion, delay. Okay? Pale by implication of shame. Okay? And be confounded. Same meaning. And so they just change out the words. And so that's what we have to be careful about. This is why a lot of people think that the Bible has been tampered with. Because they don't take the time to look at these definitions to see that. No, it's pretty much saying different things or things a little differently as far as understanding is concerned. But you know, people don't look at the scriptures like we're doing here. It says, let my adversaries be clothed with shame. Look at the word shame. It says, kalama. Disgrace. Takes you back to 6:37. Okay. And let them cover themselves with their own confusion, Bosheth. Their own shame. Okay. Bosheth. Look at a few more. I'm not going to look at all of them. I'm going to go into the New Testament now for the sake of the time. We're going to the New Testament, and we just started Acts chapter 19, verse 29. It said, the whole city was filled with confusion. And having called Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companion in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. So when you see the word confusion, It gives a different definition, because now we're looking at Greek meaning. But at the same time, when you start running this word back, it says commixture, riotous. So when you see a disturbance, that's confusion. We see people rioting and things like that, fighting and all this thing, you know, club brawls and all that thing, that is confusion. But it's from a riot perspective. Okay, and so it shows these definitions. 1 Corinthians, this is where they get this when they say confusion of the devil. That's why I believe they get it. It said, for Yah is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So when you look at it, he's not the author of confusion. It says instability, disorder, okay, commotion. Yah is not the. In other words, Yah is not of confusion. Yah is not of instability. He's not of commotions, disorder, things like that. So when you see things from that perspective, you know that's not Yah. When things are approached from a commotion standpoint, confusion, torment, instability, Yah is not the author of that. You run it back to 182. It means inconstant, unstable. Yah is not the author of unstable. So that's what it actually means when it says Yah is not the author of confusion. Yah said, if things are unstable, he said, I don't have anything to do with that. I'm not the author of that. That's not me. Yah is a God of order. Okay? Last one here and we'll stop. It says, For where envying and strife is, y'all italicized, so it says where, for where envying and strife, there are confusion. You got envy and strife, there are confusion. Now, what does this word confusion mean? It's pretty much the same commotion, disorder, instability. Let you know Yah is not a part of that. Where there's envy and strife, we know that's a word of confusion, and Yah is not after that. That's instability. When you see envy and strife that's going on, that's instability. That show you that's not of Yah. Okay? And that's why a lot of time when we may be like, well, man, you know, why is this going on? Why does it seem like there's this commotion? What's this commotion about? Yah is not a part of that. That's why it says, for where envying and strife is, we'll look at the word envying and strife and then we'll stop. Zeal, it says in a favorable sense. So envy has to do with jealousy. Okay, it also deal with fervent mind, anger, indignation. So the zeal is from a perspective of anger. Okay, and when you look at envy, there's also jealousy associated with it. So when a person, for whatever reason, is angry with you without a cause, and they have a zeal about it, and seem like every time you come around, then they have indignation towards you. That is envy. That's what the scriptures calls envy. Anyone who operates in that, Yah is letting us know that is not him. That is not the vessel that he's using. Because he said, I'm not the author of that. You can't say, I lead you, and then these commotions, this zeal of fervent anger is going on against people, because the underlying root of it is jealousy. Y'all said, that ain't me. They're not being led by me. He said, I'm not the author of that. I don't condone envy and strife. And so now when we look at strife, strife means intrigue, faction, contention, strife, contentious. You ever got around people and seemed like, the tension was so thick you can cut it with a knife? Y'all said, I am not a part of that. So I don't care what's coming out of your mouth. They can holler Jesus all they want to, he said. But if all these things are going on, where there's contention and strife, and I feel like every time I come out of the circumstance, I just got beat up and nobody touched me, that y'all said, I'm letting you know that is not me. That mindset that the individual has with their envy and strife, it is not of me. I'm not the author of it. So it don't matter how much they put Jesus in it, no matter how much they talk about Yah, if envy and strife is in their life, Yah said, I'm not leading them. I don't have nothing to do with that.
Can I ask you something?
Of course.
Because this just popped in my head.
Okay,
you know, like they said, like there's confusion and stuff at the border. What kind of confusion would that be?
I don't know, because I haven't actually seen it. So it could be a combination of a lot of things that we've dealt with. You could see rioting going on. So if there are riots going on, that kind of confusion. You could also see some envy and jealousy that's going on in there. And so it can be multiple facets of those definitions that we looked at, depending on what's going on at that particular time. And so it depends on what they're doing. If they're snatching kids up and different things like that. It's like what Job said. He said, "This is shameful. This is shameful from." And I pull the heels up again. Job said, "If I be wicked, woe unto me. If I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion." And so, when you look at most likely what's going on at that border, is disgrace, dishonor. Here you have people that may be fleeing one thing, depending on the state of Mexico, maybe fleeing there for a better way of life and different things like that. And they're being stopped at that border because they're being disgraced, reproached, they're being brought to shame and dishonor, from trying to cross over. Now, I'm not saying that that we should just let anybody come over. But, you know, that's a sticky situation. You know?
Well, I understand that, but that is a sticky situation. But they're always saying that there's confusion at the border, and this is going on at the border, and this like, well, if you really think about it, by what you're saying by confusion, if you go by the Bible, the actual meaning of it, then there's just more than one confusion that people
That's correct. See. That's correct. You're seeing rioting going on, fighting, and all those different things. You're seeing a combination of jealousy going on that causes envy and strife. So you got some people who are in America that don't want these people to cross the border just from a sheer perspective of hate, envy, and strife. They have no real, true, legitimate reason from the fact that they just don't like the people. And so it's a combination of a lot of things going on. So, yeah, when you deal with that word confusion at that border, it's a combination of a lot of things that's going on in there. And that's true. So I wanted y'all to understand it. And the reason why I wanted to teach this is because, I always get in a lot of Bible studies for one reason or another. The reason why I said it is because it don't always happen in church sitting. It can happen in restaurants. It can happen just standing outside somewhere. You can always get in a Bible study with people. And so, so I ran into the individual that was basically in a nutshell saying that the New Testament the New Testament is not legitimate, and saying Paul was this, and people make these kind of statements, and they do so because of a lack of understanding. But when you run into people like us who understand a lot of things as far as Scripture is concerned, it starts to bring down those things that's put up before people. And they're dealt with, but it's dealt with in a way to where the people who are hearing them, they can't dispute it and make it line up to what y'all want. And so that's what I was doing, this individual. And so he used this word confusion to try to justify his point. And here's how he came at me. He said, "So I hear all the things that you're saying, and they do make sense." He said, But since what you're saying is different from what these other people that I know is saying, he said, then wouldn't that be considered confusion? He said, would that be considered confusion? Because here you teaching something different than a lot of people that I know. A lot of people, the things that I share with you, a lot of people have shared this same information with me. But what you're sharing with me is different. Then could it be you who's bringing about confusion? How would you address that? I'm not just saying it so that you can answer me. I'm just saying it so that you can think about it. How would you address if somebody said what you're saying? Now, we just looked at the word confusion. I'm going to use this for an example. We just looked at the word confusion here. And we know confusion means disgrace. So, if I come to this guy and say, well, confusion means disgrace. And he's saying, no, confusion means this. And since this is our understanding of what confusion is, why should we take your understanding of what confusion is? Because you're the only one talking about that. Here's how I addressed it. And I'll show you from, I picked up a book. And I'm just gonna take a word in verse 15, okay. I'm gonna take some words in verse 15 to show how I addressed him from a perspective of confusion, because a lot of times these people are intelligent and they're able to use certain things to corner us if we're not careful. So when he threw that up, it now made it appear like since I'm saying things different than what you're accustomed to, then I'm the one who's bringing about confusion. And that's why people are so afraid to tell the truth, is because when the truth appears to be the opposite of what everybody else is saying, then people have a tendency to shun away from it because they're afraid to tell that truth because it contradicts everybody else. So here's how I responded. I picked up a magazine, and I'm going to just use the, instead of magazine, just say this for the sake of understanding because you're looking at it. I picked up a magazine. I said, okay, now, you see these four words, 1, 2, 3, 4. You see these four words here. That's what I did with the magazine. I said, you see these four words here. Now, if I come to you and said these four words mean if I be wicked, but the rest of y'all turn around and say, it says, if I be rocked. I said, then who is the one causing confusion? He said, well, the word actually do mean, because I just took a word when I was dealing with him, and the word was just is, I-S. It was is on the magazine. I said, if I take this word is, And then bring it to you, and you say it's ain't. If I take the word is and said this is what this means is, but you said no, but everybody else saying this been ain't. This means ain't. Then how can you say I'm the one bringing confusion? He said in a nutshell. He said, I see your point. I said, so what I'm saying to you in a nutshell is, when we all come together and sit down and look at the scriptures like we're supposed to, and deal with it from a perspective of how Paul dealt with it when he met with the apostles, all of us have come to the same conclusion that this is if I be wicked. But if we don't, then you're going to say if I be ain't, and everybody, you know, y'all going to be saying if I be ain't, and I'm going to be saying if I be wicked. And now you're going to say, I'm the one who's bringing about confusion, because you won't sit down and look at the matter to come to the true meaning of it. I said, that's what y'all are doing with the scriptures. You got Israelite brothers who are getting together, and they're saying, this is what this means for our nation, but they haven't been in the scriptures enough to see all the ins and out, precept upon precept, line upon line, to actually be able to say, this is what that says without a doubt. I said, that's the difference between me and other people you sit down with. I'll sit down and show you, because he said a word that I really like. He said, what I see becomes law. I said, okay, I'll take that. So what we need to do is sit down and we both see. And we look at the words like we just looked at now. And from us looking at the words, now all of us can leave out of here on the same page, because we now understand that confusion from sitting down with our own eyes, letting our own eyes be the law by which we judge what we're reading and understanding. We've looked at all the definition and all these things, and now we understand when we all leave out of here, without a doubt, we know one thing when we leave here. There's more than one meaning for confusion. But if all I'm doing is settled in on my perspective of understanding, instead of allowing Yah to teach us what confusion is from his perspective, then I'm going to leave out of here and say, see, man, that dude just brought about confusion. He talking about confusion is all these other definitions. Man, I ain't never heard nothing like that. Confusion is when you don't understand something. That's what's wrong with the church. The church is not coming together. The body is not coming together, sitting down, looking at the scripture and making sure we're all on the same page. And that's why all this confusion is going on. All these false doctrines and things like that. Okay? So I'm going to start right here. Any questions, comments? We good? Okay. All right, we're good. Father, y'all, we just bless your name on today, and we thank you for giving us the different facets of the word confusion. We know that by sitting down, looking at your word, precept upon precept, line upon line, that we see the true meaning of things from your heart, not ours. And we just bless you for giving us the wisdom and leading and guiding us to study to do so. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.